Welcome to Social Justice Matters, a podcast from Social Justice Ireland. My name is Colette Bennett and I'm a research and policy analyst with Social Justice Ireland. This is Basic Income Week, and to mark this week, we're going to take a look back at our seminar from 2016 and a presentation from my good colleague Michelle Murphy on pathways to a basic income.
Thank you very much, Michael, and great to see so many people back after lunch. So this presentation is going to look at pathways to a basic income system. So it's divided into two parts. So in the first part, I'm going to look at pathways to a basic income system. And then in the second half of the presentation, I'll make a proposal for Ireland and how you might implement a basic income system in Ireland. So basic income system is the means by which the social protection systems and the income taxation systems are designed or redesigned to interact in order to deliver a basic income. And the reason why it's important to look at pathways is that quite often in the debate around basic income, pathways and the implementation of a basic income can be overlooked. And so while we have so much new research now in terms of funding a basic income, in terms of feasibility and in terms of the pilots we have around Europe and also around the world, it's important that we also examine the implementation of a basic income system. So I'm going to look at five different approaches briefly in the presentation. They're all different. They're different in terms of coverage, in terms of time frames, but there are similarities and overlapping features for some of the approaches as well. So I go into these in more details in the paper. I'll just go through them briefly here today. So the first approach I'm going to look at is the all-at-once approach, which does exactly what it says on the tin. So this would involve the complete removal of the current income tax and social protection systems and then the immediate implementation of a basic income system. So in the year that you would decide to do this, on the last day of that tax year, your income taxes and your social welfare benefits are paid through the existing systems. And then in the first week of the new tax year, your full basic income system is delivered and all payments are made through that system. So it immediately introduces a basic income. It quickly eliminates the current system, which was pointed out by Anthony and Malcolm this morning, isn't really fit for purpose in the days in which we live now. It was designed for a different time and different forms of employment. It quickly realises the benefits of basic income for people, and it also doesn't have the anomaly of two different systems running in parallel, so you just have the basic income system. However, obviously there are disadvantages to this approach. The change could be too drastic for some people who would need time to become accustomed to basic income, to what basic income payments would mean. It could also be quite disruptive because it would require significant planning and ensuring that any anomalies within the present administrative systems for your income tax and social protection are addressed. And obviously you would need a significant and comprehensive information and education campaign prior to the rollout of the basic income so that everybody would be prepared for the change and aware of what was to come. So the second approach, which was also discussed this morning by Malcolm Torrey, is looking at introducing a basic income by groups. So you would pick particular groups in society and you would give them basic income payments one after the other. So, for example, you could pick older people, followed by children, people of working age, students. So the amount of time it would take would be determined by the amount of groups that you would pick. So the advantages of this approach, obviously it's less drastic and disruptive than the all-at-once approach. There's not an immediate upheaval. As Malcolm pointed out this morning, it could be more politically feasible because if you choose those groups that are thought to be more deserving of a basic income and you introduce the basic income to those groups first, then this could help shift public and political opinion as people begin to adjust and realise the advantages of having a basic income. However, obviously there are disadvantages to this approach as well because you have winners and losers. Not everybody will get it immediately. Some groups get it first. Other groups may have to wait a number of years despite the fact that they will be paying for it from the beginning. So this can cause resentment between life cycle groups. And also you could have a situation where that group who would probably benefit the most from the basic income might get it at the latest possible time because they're seen as the least politically acceptable group to give a basic income payment to. And they're not seen as deserving enough from a social or a political perspective. Then the third approach would be to introduce a partial basic income, which Michael Taft will elaborate on a variation of this in the paper coming after me. So you would introduce a modest partial basic income to some citizens initially, and gradually over time you would expand this and develop it into a full basic income. For example, Robert Skidelsky has proposed that, you know, now we're living in an era of change in terms of technological advancement, automation, that you could introduce an unconditional tax credit for all citizens, and you would gradually build this up over time as your income from employment would fall. You could also introduce a basic income for older people, for example, and then expand it down the demographic system over time. It's less disruptive. It can allow for a smoother transition because you can evaluate the introduction of this partial basic income. You can monitor the effect it's having on other parts of the income tax or social protection system. The problem is you're going to be running two systems in parallel. This can be confusing and it can be expensive. Then you also have the problem that there may be some unexpected consequences or unintended consequences of how the basic income itself, the partial basic income, could interact with other means-tested benefits or means-tested payments that continue to exist in the system. Then the fourth approach is a much longer-term approach. It's a sort of an incremental approach towards introducing a basic income system. And one of the arguments for using this approach is that you could embed basic income within the social policy system and within the political system. So there are two examples. For the United States, Tony Fitzpatrick proposed this approach, and he determined that you could probably introduce a full basic income system in the United States over a 25-year period if you did it in five-year increments. And his argument for this was that if you did it in five-year increments and stages, then voters would begin to see the benefit of a basic income system. You could embed it into social policy. And he proposed that you would revise the social insurance system and then eventually introduce a transitional basic income, a participation income, and then by year 25 you would have a full basic income system running. And actually Malcolm also proposed a similar approach for the UK, but taking a different perspective. His proposal you could introduce a full basic income system over about 50 years if young adults were allowed to maintain their child benefit payment once they reached the age of 18 and they maintained that through their lifetime, and that you turned the single tier pension in the UK into universal citizens pension. So that would take about 50 years, he estimated, to introduce. So, I mean, it's a very long period of time. It's quite different to the other approaches, but you can also see the rationale behind it, because it does allow you the space to test new approaches to deliver a basic income with minimal disruption. It does allow it to garner more political support, more social support, as people see the benefits of it in their daily lives. However, the disadvantage is it would be very difficult to keep it on the political agenda over such a long period of time. So it could be more easy to dismantle a basic income system as well, if it's not depending on where you are in the time period. Also, not everybody will benefit, and actually some people might not benefit from it at all. And you still don't address the problems associated with the present social protection and income tax systems. So the final pathway I'm going to look at is a gradual implementation approach. So you would choose a specific time period over which you were going to introduce a basic income. So it could be 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And during this time, you would gradually dismantle the existing tax and social protection systems. And at the same time, you would establish your basic income system separately from the income tax and social protection systems. And then you would begin to phase one in and phase one out. So, for example, if you decided to do this over 5 years, in year one, you would introduce one-fifth of your basic income system and remove one-fifth of the income tax and social protection system. Year two, two-fifths of the basic income system and remove two-fifths of the existing tax and social protection systems. And so on until year five, where you would eliminate the old income tax and social protection systems and fully phase in your basic income system. So it's a more gradual approach. The advantages to it are that the challenge of reforming the present system is overcome because the basic income system is established separately. from the existing income tax and social protection systems. It distributes the benefits and costs of the basic income system equally over time, so it's not disruptive, and it allows for gradual adjustment to a basic income and ongoing monitoring and evaluation. However, it would require strong political leadership and support. It would require detailed planning, both at a government level and between government departments, to ensure that you have the administrative systems required in order to deliver this system, and you would need a significant education and information strategy so that people are prepared for the change, however gradual that change may be. Now, I'm moving on to the second part of my presentation, which is a proposal for Ireland and how you might implement a basic income system in Ireland. So before you implement your basic income system for Ireland, you would need to implement two reforms, one to the income tax system and one to the social protection system. So these reforms are required in order to deliver a structure that can support a basic income system. So the first reform is to introduce a universal pension, and the second reform is to introduce refundable tax credits. And if you introduce these two reforms, then you would have the necessary elements in place for a structure that would support a basic income system in Ireland, as the current systems that we have would be reformed. And then you could develop them in order to introduce a basic income system. So in terms of a universal pension, Social Justice Ireland, we produced a significant amount of research on this in 2013, costing it out to 2046 based on demographic projections from the CSO and also outlining how it could be paid for. That research is being updated at present and should be released by the end of the year. We would see this as a guaranteed minimum level of income for every citizen aged 66 and over. It would replace the state contributory pension and the state non-contributory pension in Ireland. So the objective of this is to provide an adequate and sustainable post-retirement income, and it's a flat rate universal entitlement. You could implement this reform in 1 year. So within 1 year, you could reform your pension system and have a new first-tier pension, the universal pension. What you would need to do in that 12-month period is make the necessary administrative and systems changes, and also in the budget of that year, give effect to the necessary taxation and expenditure changes required in order to deliver a universal pension. Once you have done this and implemented this reform, the social protection system in Ireland would then have a minimum payment for all stages of the life cycle. So children would be entitled to universal child benefit. People of working age who are looking for employment and out of work are entitled to unemployment benefit. And then people aged 66 and over would be entitled to their universal state pension. So it would address one of the technical challenges that we have in the social protection system at the moment. Now, the reform of the taxation system is related to income tax, and it is the introduction of refundable tax credits. So we have also published a study on this. It was published in 2010, outlining the costs, the beneficiaries, and how it could be administered. So refundable tax credits would see the refund of the unused portion of your tax credit at the end of the year. If you're a low-paid employee, the state would refund you. The value of tax credits, and we run a tax credit system in Ireland, is that they're the same value to people of all income levels and you benefit to the same extent. But if you do not earn enough money so that your income tax bill is not high enough to benefit from all your tax credits, you don't get the full value. So this really impacts on low-paid employees, those in full-time or part-time employment, so they don't benefit from the full value of tax credits. You could rectify this by making it refundable. So at the end of the year, these employees who don't get the full value would get a refund from the state. So it's also known as a negative income tax system. And there's no administrative cost to employers. All employees would be entitled to this minimum level of income if you introduced refundable tax credits. So by implementing both of these reforms that I've just outlined, the universal pension and refundable tax credits, once they were implemented, then your income tax and social protection systems would provide minimum levels of payments or incomes to people. So you would be entitled to a universal minimum entitlement in one of both systems, whether you're in employment, a PAYE employee, or if you're reliant on a social welfare payment. Obviously, the levels of these payments vary, but the value of these two reforms is that they give you the structure that is required to support a universal entitlement, and to implement a basic income system. Now, my proposal for Ireland is to implement a basic income system using the gradual approach of over a five-year period. And I pick a five-year period because it's one dull term or one government term of office, just to show that it could be done in one government term of office and it's politically achievable. So in year one, you would make the necessary changes to introduce your universal pension for all citizens aged 66 and over. So you need to make the necessary administrative and system changes and the taxation and expenditure changes. And you would begin work on establishing your basic income system separately from the income tax and social protection systems. You would look at those systems and make sure that any anomalies existing within them that might generate unintended consequences are addressed and rectified in a timely manner. And you would begin to develop your comprehensive communication strategy around a basic income system. In year two, you would introduce refundable tax credits. You'd obviously continue work on developing your basic income system and you'd continue to roll out your education system and the upgrade of your administrative systems that will be required in order to gradually move towards a basic income system. Then in year three, you would introduce one third of your basic income system and remove one third of the income tax and social protection systems. In year four, you introduce two thirds of the basic income system and remove two thirds of the income tax and social protection systems. And then in year five, you eliminate the old income tax and social protection systems and you would introduce your full basic income system. So this would deliver a smoother transition to a basic income, and in year one and year two you would have addressed the structural deficits that we have in our existing income tax and social protection systems. So I'm going to conclude now. So the reason I decided actually to look at pathways is that it's really important when we're arguing for a basic income and arguing that you can fund it, the benefits of it, you must also be able to demonstrate that the structure of a basic income system can be developed. So if there is political will to implement a basic income, then you have to be able to show that this can be done, that the transition can be developed in a smooth manner, that there's not going to be too much upheaval, and that the existing systems can be adjusted and tweaked in order to transition to a basic income system. Because it's really important now, especially, that we have more research and a lot of interest is being generated around basic income at the moment for various reasons on the right and on the left, that you can make the case not just for the affordability and feasibility of a basic income, but that the transition to a basic income system can be smooth, it can be gradual, and it can be operable. So thank you very much.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. There is a wealth of information on our website, socialjustice.ie, on a basic income. We have seminars, we have video presentations, we have conference papers, and we have everyday analysis from our web articles. Please do check it out. And of course, if there's anything you would like to see covered in our podcast, whether that's one of our seminars or a 10-minute lesson or an interview with somebody, please do get in touch at secretary@socialjustice.ie. Until next time, stay safe.